Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
And we're back for another big Monday night. I am David Gao, sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. Welcome in, Carla.
Good to be here, David.
And we have behind the glass the mighty Jose. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm a little disappointed, though.
Tell us.
The Raiders won yesterday, and there's no star pants.
Okay. You know what? They're at the cleaners.
Oh.
And Jose, I was thinking, you know what? No one will remember that I said that. And I wasn't planning on them to win this early.
She had no faith that her team would win. That's what I'm getting out of that.
Well, that certainly
that's
is the implication. Here's
it was hopeful faith, though. I want that draft pick. I want number one.
For those who do not know, when the Raiders win, usually Carla comes in dressed in extraordinary star pants. They're black. They're silver. They represent
black
the Raiders.
Black leather.
Black
silver stars.
Leather.
Let's be clear.
Silver starred pants.
They're fancy.
They are fancy. But if you did send them to the cleaners before the game Sunday, you did not anticipate a Raiders win this week against the Steelers.
No, and I'm telling you, it was kind of hopeful not to have that because I really want them to have that number one pick.
Isn't that interesting?
Like, are you really winning now?
It's
but
like
the Steelers just... They made sure it happened.
Well, there's no tanking in the NFL. It's sort of interesting. These teams are really playing to win. The Raiders
are
playing to win. The Giants are playing to win. I thought the Giants should have been tanking so they could position themselves to pick a franchise quarterback. They've now got 5 wins in the season.
It's a tough guy league. They're not going to tank.
Well, it's a better league for not having tanking, no doubt.
And I appreciate that.
And
I really do.
Well, look at the 49ers. I mean, they could have been tanking. They won yesterday. These are teams at the bottom of the rung who are trying to play well and playing. They're playing spoiler.
Spoiler to the Steelers. San Francisco did it to Denver. Denver was all high and mighty after a 3-game, consecutive winning streak, and that ended.
Well, yeah.
In the hands of George Kittle.
I think Vance Joseph and the Broncos are in jeopardy. I mean, Joseph is not likely to be back next year for the Broncos. We'll see. Big night matchup tonight. It's Monday Night Football. We've got the Seahawks and the Vikings, as Craig Larson just said to us. It always seems that the Vikings are playing a tough game. They've got a big matchup again.
Who scares you tonight?
Well, I think the Vikings pull this out. I think they're well-rounded team.
Depends which Vikings come.
Yeah, we'll see. And if they can get Dalvin Cook, their running back, uncorked and really keeping the pressure off of Kirk Cousins, they've got a good shot.
Russell Wilson always keeps it interesting, and CenturyLink Field is a scary place to play. We'll see.
When we come back, we'll ask the Gloss whether she's satisfied with the Heisman Trophy winner.
If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to GiftingNap.com. The team at GiftingNap has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit GiftingNap.com today. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Well, so after all the hype, it was Kyler Murray winning the Heisman Trophy. A bit of a surprise. I mean, certainly most of the narrative all season was that it would be Tua, yet it was not. And Kyler Murray, the second OU quarterback back-to-back to get the Heisman Trophy, were you surprised?
No, not after championship weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt it's unfortunate for Tua that that's the way it landed, because it's not only the hype all season, but it's been preseason ever since he came in and played savior for Alabama in the national championship game. It was his to lose, and he managed to lose it, which is crazy. But honestly, and I think that is what did it in the eyes of the voters.
Right. You think the poor performance of his play against Georgia in the championship game was the deciding factor?
Yes, because if you look at Alabama's season,
yep.
Okay, so they've had really, other than the SEC West, some of the other schools, it's been a really pretty much of a cupcake schedule. And so Tua, his numbers are less in touchdowns, total yards, all of that, than Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State, because he doesn't play in any fourth quarter in most of these games when you're playing Lafayette, Louisiana, or, you know, whatever these things are. So that is to his credit that he doesn't have to. So his numbers are a lot less. But you brought up a great point earlier when we were talking before the show that, you know, you can't look at stats alone, because there are the factors that Alabama's that dominant. But what I think is so fascinating about it is that before he was hurt in the SEC championship game,
yep.
His numbers at halftime were 37 yards passing and 2 interceptions.
Yep.
And that was pre the ankle sprain. So when you're finally on the biggest stage of your season, and that's how you perform, I don't know, I got to scratch my head thinking he's my number one.
No, no question. That cast doubt on all things Tua and the vote for the Heisman. The other thing that I just kept feeling really all season long, even before that game, is that what Kyler Murray had to do and Dwayne Haskins had to do is score every time they got on the field. I mean, the Oklahoma defense was so porous. It was like holding serve in tennis. Kyler Murray knew he had to take his team down to score. Tua didn't have that kind of a pressure all year, frankly. For Tua, it's a big difference between going on the field and knowing you have to score and going on the field and just running your offense and knowing you'll get another chance or another chance or another chance. And Kyler Murray delivered time in and time out. He did far more for his team and took Oklahoma further. You remove Kyler Murray from that Oklahoma football team, and I think that team is very mediocre, probably about a break-even season, and certainly not the Big 12 champion. You take Tua off that team at Alabama, and with Jalen Hurts, I think Alabama's still just fine. They're still going to win the SEC. So, no, I think Kyler Murray is a very deserving Heisman winner.
I agree with you, and I would say exactly the same about Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, that's fair.
And when you look at the Heisman numbers, I mean, they call the race between Tua and Kyler Murray close, but it was 300 votes that separated them. I think it was like 700 and something, 400 and something, and then Dwayne Haskins is way down there, like in 100. And I would say exactly what you said to about Kyler Murray. I could flip that conversation to Dwayne Haskins, because I watched, especially towards the end, the game against Maryland that went into overtime, and then their spanking of Michigan, and, you know, their close, you know, Big Ten championship game, this and that. He was called upon, Haskins was called upon time and time again, and they went how he went, and he was the star, and he was the one that was going to save them. And really, both Kyler Murray and Haskins, they were the ones called upon to bail out their leaky defenses over and over again, where really, until Jalen Hurts came to Alabama a couple years ago, their quarterback position was game manager, and that's all they needed.
Yep.
And honestly, that really is all that Alabama does need, But now they're just, the rich are getting richer when they found a two-way player like Jalen Hurts. And then when you have the luxury, so Tua goes down at the half in the SEC championship game, who do you call upon? Oh, Jalen Hurts. I mean, a Division I program would love to have a Jalen Hurts, and he is their backup? What a luxury.
Yep, an abundance of riches, no doubt.
Abundance of riches, for sure. So I'm confused at why Dwayne Haskins didn't get more love. And I also think, I don't love the fact, even though the two players, Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, both OU quarterbacks, back-to-back years, Heisman winners. What I don't love about it, it's not so much that they came from OU, it's that they came from the Big 12. The Big 12 is a no-defense league.
Yep.
So it's really easy to get that. I mean, relatively
to
easy.
Get Nothing good stats,
to,
certainly.
To get good stats.
Yeah. I'll tell you, some credit to Lincoln Riley here. He has produced back-to-back Heismans.
Give it to him.
Well, that's going to turn the head of some NFL coaches or NFL general managers who are looking for new coaches to their team. There are going to be a lot of openings coming up, so it'll be interesting to see if Lincoln Riley really is ready to take that next step.
No, it is, and it's interesting. That's a great point you bring up about NFL looking at college coaches who can develop their quarterbacks. Look what Jim Harbaugh did for Andrew Luck.
Yep.
And that got him to San Francisco, you know, and the same with Bill Walsh when he was at Stanford, got him to the 49ers and he developed his quarterback, you know, who played under him? Was that Elway? I can't remember. But you're looking at the same thing with Lincoln Riley, right. What he's done with Baker Mayfield and now Kyler Murray.
Right.
So that is your ticket.
Particularly in this era. This is a quarterback-driven world we live in now. Offense is key. We've just got a few minutes before we go. We're going to have Chris Landry of Landry Football join us. But I want to just talk a minute of MLB with you. MLB, the owners' meetings, the winter meetings are now underway. Sort of an interesting window here as we look at the winter meetings. Bryce Harper.
He's all the rage. He's all the time.
A big rage. And Scott Boras has come to town, and he is making a big-time pitch. Bryce Harper is poised, it seems, to get one of the largest contracts in the history of professional sports.
I think he's going to break the record books. Mm-hmm. And Scott Boras is pulling out of the dog and pony show. Not that you even need to, because he's such a stellar player, Bryce Harper is. But Scott Boras is leaving interested teams. Like, when the interested teams are given a room number at the hotel and a time, and the team shows up there, and there are Mr. and Mrs. Bryce Harper and Scott Boras, of course, and they do the pitch and they do the conversation and all this. And at the end, Boras leaves the team with a 118-page handout, all things Bryce Harper, everything you want to know and why he's worth the probably $400 million contract he's about to get.
Amazing. I would hate to have to negotiate with Scott Boras. I mean, he's the guy. I mean, if you really want to get the top dollar contract as a baseball player. Now, J.D. Martinez last year was a Boras client. Boras held him out, thought there was going to be bigger money on the market. He probably misread the market. J.D. Martinez ends up signing late on what is a relatively light contract with the Red Sox. But for the most part, Boras delivers for his guys. Other big developments, there are some good pitchers who have now signed, free agents. Uvalde's off the market. Corbin's off the market. And, well, Dallas Keuchel's still out there. Charlie Morton's still out there. There's still some good pitchers to go. We're sitting here in Houston, Texas. The Astros really need to figure out what they're going to do. If both Keuchel and Morton depart from the Astros, they're short at least one starter.
At the very least, one of them will go, and I'm pretty sure it's Dallas. But they might get both of them gone.
Yeah, I know. I think there's a real risk both depart.
So they've got some work to do.
Mm-hmm. The Yankees, they picked up Jimmy Sexton, a great pickup, but they're still looking for another starter. If I had to bet money, I think that Dallas Keuchel will get a really grand offer from the Yankees, and Keuchel departs the Astros and signs with the Yankees.
Are you okay with that as a Houston fan?
Well, as an Astros fan, I'd like to be able to bring back both those guys, or at least, I mean, there are other options here. I mean, last year, Jeff Luna was so good. He went out and got Garrett Cole. And
that was late. That was post the winter meetings.
That was an extraordinary trade, mm-hmm. and he slid right in as the number two behind Verlander. And frankly, this was a World Series team that had a World Series rotation, and then they added Cole to the roster. So Luno's not going to sit idle. But there he is, Corey Kluber of the Indians. He's available for trade. You're going to have to give up a bevy of young talent for them. But there are some players out there, and Kluber has to be the prize right now. A guy who has been a Cy Young guy, a guy who has pitch at the highest level.
Yep.
He's a great, great talent. And it looks like the Indians are at a place where they're going to look at unraveling their team and rebuilding for the future.
They just keep getting almost there. And you have to do something drastic if you're the Indians.
Well, after that Cubs series, it's been a tough road for the Indians.
That was rough.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have Chris Landry of Landry Football join us, and we will get to ask him what the future holds for Oakland now that they have let go of their general manager, Reggie McKenzie. When we return, Chris Landry.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Carla, will you do me a favor?
Always.
I don't ask a lot of favors.
No, you don't. I know, and you're my boss, so.
Here we go. I want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs.
Done.
All right. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right. Joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Chris Landry. He is a scout, an insider, a guru of all things NFL. You can read about him and read about what he covers on LandryFootball.com. That's LandryFootball.com. Chris, thanks so much for joining. It's David and Carla on SB Nation Radio.
Hey, David, Carla, how are you guys doing this evening?
Better that you're with us, Chris. Glad you're back.
Oh, it's good to be back with you guys and talking some college football, NFL, whatever, all things football. Great weekend of football. And, boy, we've got some interesting races coming down the curtains in the NFL.
Well, that we do. We wanted to begin with the big headline of the day, the Raiders letting go of Reggie McKenzie, the general manager. And we were having a conversation about it off air. The question then is, how do you replace Reggie McKenzie with how do you get a GM who can come alongside and work with John Gruden?
Well, it's I think, was pretty obvious once John got the job that he was going to eventually bring in his own guy that he was going to hire. And I think that part of it is the familiarity with the personnel and having Reggie there. But it was pretty clear to those of us that kind of know John. And this is John's show. You don't pay him $10 million a year for 10 years unless he gets to make all the decisions. So they're going to hire somebody titled to be determined, whether it's GM or some other title, that's going to work with Gruden, that's somebody that Gruden's comfortable with. And listen, how effective it's going to be, I think that we've seen that through his history in Tampa and the short stint in Oakland, that this is not John's strength. It's going to have to be somebody that John trusts and believes in, because even though John is going to make the decisions, John is going to be the one that's focused on the coaching, the preparation, and he will lean on somebody that he trusts that's going to do the evaluation, set, you know, the standard for the scouts, and then he's ultimately going to make the decision in concert with this guy. So it's going to be somebody in his background, no question about it, that is going to understand that situation. But somebody who's a proven general manager, they're not going to want that job. It's going to be somebody tied to Gruden.
That's a great point, Chris, because the interesting thing is that Reggie McKenzie did exactly the same thing. He cleaned house when he came in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And you can understand that when you're given that kind of power and you need to turn around an organization, you've got to have your people with you. Who do you think, if you were to pick someone to slot in there that would work well with Gruden, who would you put in at that sort of role, whatever it's going to be called?
Well, the guy that administratively that aligns with Gruden but is not a personnel guy is Bruce Allen in Washington with the Redskins. And
yeah,
I'm sure that, he's got a situation and obviously ties with his dad being the former coach there. I wonder if it's about time that he wants to make a move. Now, what Bruce would do is put together, you know, the personnel department underneath him, because Bruce is not a personnel evaluator, but he is somebody that would be good to run the operations in terms of contract, oversee the salary cap. If that's not the case, it's going to be somebody that's going to be a young up-and-comer that is going to be looking for his first opportunity to be kind of an understudy. I mean, listen, it's the same philosophy that they have in New England, just a different guy running it, and a proven guy in New England that evaluates personnel, and a guy in Gruden that, quite frankly, has been very poor at doing it. But it's the same structure in that regard into how they do it. Same in Kansas City. There are a few organizations that do it. It's just that in this case, John Gruden doesn't have a history of success of running the personnel department.
We're talking to Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. So thus far, we've had two head coaches fired, Hugh Jackson and Mike McCarthy. Who are the next two to three coaches that are on the hot seat that you could envision departing sort of at the end of the year?
Well, I think we need to keep an eye on Tampa, and, yep, and we'll see how that plays out. I think we need to keep an eye in New York with the Jets. And, you know, I think that things haven't gone quite as well as they had hoped there. I think we need to keep an eye on Denver and how they finish out the season. That's a possibility. Then I think in Cincinnati, listen, that was a weird situation. Of course, aren't the Bengals a little bit different?
What secrets does Marv Lewis have on his owner?
Last year they Marvin Lewis wanted to step aside. In essence, the Bengals talked him into staying one more year. I think this is probably his last year in Cincinnati, but making a living guessing there is going to be is always difficult. And then let's see what Baltimore does down the stretch. If they were to collapse, for example, John Harbaugh's is something that might be under consideration there. So let's those are the ones that jump out at me. Also, let's keep an eye out on what might happen in Jacksonville. Could Tom Coughlin come in and take over as the head coach? Those are possibilities there that I'm keeping an eye out on. That we're going to have our normal seven or eight of them every year. We seemingly do.
Well, so it does look like there would be seven or eight openings. The question on the other side is, where are all these new coaches going to come from? Josh McDaniels is out there, but who are the guys?
Bruce Arians.
Yeah, who's on your short list of good guys that a team ought to go pick up?
Well, I think there are a few guys that intrigue me. John DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator of the Vikings, is really good. Zach Taylor, the quarterback coach of the Rams, really good, as well as Shane Waldron off that staff. I think Dan Campbell, assistant head coach of the Saints, is outstanding. Matt LaFleur, an offensive coordinator for the Titans, is really good. I think there are a number of guys that I think can make that step and be from the assistant coaching ranks. I don't think, and let me just say this, depending upon what we're talking about, somebody will be interested in Mike McCarthy, recently let go by the Packers.
Yep.
If John Harbaugh is let go in Baltimore, you could see him resurface in a place like Green Bay, whereas McCarthy might be a possibility in Cleveland. I don't think Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma is going to make the jump this year. Don't think Jim Harbaugh is going to make a move this year. Keep an eye out for two guys that folks will have an interest in. I don't know whether they're going to make the jump. Matt Rhule, the coach at Baylor, and Jeff Brohm, the coach at Purdue. Both are really bright young coaches. Matt Rhule had a really good interview with the Colts last year. Remember when Josh McDaniels took the job and then backed out, and then they ultimately hired Frank Wright? Matt Rhule was a really strong candidate there. So those are some names to keep an eye out on. I don't know that Matt Campbell just re-upped his deal at Iowa State, but he's another guy that's a fast-track guy that maybe is headed to maybe a more prominent college job, but has a lot of the pedigree that could make him a good possibility as a head coach. Chris Richard of Dallas, the defensive coordinator, the passing game coordinator there, is really good. So there are a few of them that I think are really good young coaches that are ready to take that next step.
I love your Matt Rhule idea, although he is really finally now starting to turn around Baylor. So we'll see how dedicated he is there, because he's really done a great job with that program. Chris, let me ask you about Tampa Bay. So they've got a quandary at the end of this season. Are they going to sign Jameis Winston to a long-term deal? Is this who they want to hang their hat on as their franchise guy? And, of course, he's behaving himself on the field and off the field in the last couple games. What do you do?
Because if it were me, I would have wanted to move on, and it's a risky move by ownership and to keep him on the field, because if he were to get injured, that $21 million that is guaranteed, that is payable if he is injured. So that's a Russian roulette there. It is pretty clear, though, that the head coach and the general manager of the Bucks currently, they're the ones that are tied to Jameis Winston. So they're selling it inside. Yeah, look, he's our guy. He's cleaning things up, yada, yada, yada. Well, I mean, because if they say we need to move on, well, they're going to move on from the guy. You're the ones that wanted him, so we're moving on from you. So they're directly tied to the hip with him. So I think depending on how this season finishes up, and we need to watch it, I think there could be a house cleaning, general manager and head coach. And if that's the case, then we'll need to see how they feel about Jameis Winston. I think that the answer to your question is going to be tied to whether this head coach and general manager survive. If they do, then Winston survives because, again, they're tied to him.
We're talking to Chris Landry. You can read him on LandryFootball.com. So, Chris, we've got about a minute remaining. Now that we've seen Amari Cooper on the Cowboys, was he worth the first-round pick? And what has his impact really meant to that offense?
Well, listen, it was an aggressive move. And I think we need to look at it long term, and I think he's got a chance to be a really good player for a long time. There is no question that he's had tremendous impact, and yes, I would say that it's been absolutely worth it. Everyone's excited, obviously, in Dallas. That's a team that's playing very well, as you guys well know, everybody knows. And I think beyond the Rams and the Saints, you got to look at the Cowboys, you got to look at the Bears, and they're well-rounded. I think that it's been a really positive move that's given them a playmaker for their offense that they lacked prior to that move.
That's Chris Landry of Landry Football. Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a bunch, guys. Take care.
Don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion? Then head over to giftingnap.com. The team at Gifting Nap has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit giftingnap.com today. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Well, it's always awesome to talk to Chris Landry of Landry Football, and interesting to hear his perspectives. My fear has been that there really aren't enough good, new, young, up-and-coming head coaches to fill all the vacancies that are going to take place. But he had a good laundry list of guys he thought were pretty good candidates.
And it came from coordinator positions, too, mm-hmm. in the NFL.
More so than collegiate head coaches moving up.
Right.
Which probably makes sense at this point in time. Although, when you look at it, I mean, the college offenses have migrated up to the NFL, which might make it more of a...
You're seeing these dual-threat quarterbacks.
Yes, you could do it this way. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see. The one thing I would say that strikes me right now is one of the most attractive head coach openings, I think, is the Cleveland Browns. And it's hard to say that out loud, but I really think if I were a head coach...
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
I would go to the Cleveland Browns. I've got a young quarterback. I've got Myles Garrett. I've got Devin Ward at corner. There are a lot of young pieces there on that team. Nick Chubb is running the ball well.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the Browns are a team that if they can just put a few more pieces together, we're on our way.
It's crazy to think... On paper, is the Browns maybe not a better job right now to pursue rather than the Packers?
They have more pieces, Jose. You're absolutely right.
That's insane to think about.
But that's a lot of years of being in the tank.
A lot of years.
They've drafted well.
They have drafted a lot. They have a lot of young high picks. I mean, obviously the Packers start with Aaron Rodgers, your great foundation. And Baker Mayfield is no Aaron Rodgers.
And then tell me what comes after Aaron Rodgers.
That's the rub. There's a big fall off. I mean, that's the rub. I don't know. But the Browns looked pretty good yesterday. They beat Carolina. I would rather head coach the Browns over the Carolina Panthers.
Oh,
I can tell you that.
My goodness.
And that's based on just yesterday's game, but also based on the total talent.
Okay, what's happening with Carolina? Okay, is
Panthers
Cam Newton
sinking.
Healthy? I want to know. No, okay, Jose, you're saying
like
no
it,
too.
No.
He's not saying it. Something's up.
How do you go from him replicating the numbers you put up your MVP season to what he's going through right now? That's something's not right.
And two games ago, not this weekend, but the weekend before, the camera angle flashed to him on the sidelines before the game had started. He looked like he had seen a a ghost in the headlights, and he was saying a prayer, like, under his – he looked absolutely terrified before taking the field. And I was like, you know what? It was just this quick Passover. I said, this guy is not right. He is physically not right, and I think he's like, shoot. And with his style of play, forget it. If he's injured –
well, it was just about a month ago we were talking about how Norv Turner had taken his game to the next level, that Cam Newton was playing better thanks to Norv, and they were doing innovative things on the field, and Norv was letting Cam play to his strengths, and then the wheels came off.
Riverboat Ron.
Well, I think
he survived this season?
No,
that's what I want to know.
He's on the short list of guys who could well be fired because the Panthers have fallen well short of expectations. On the other side of that game, rookie Baker Mayfield was fabulous yesterday. I mean, he's thrown at least one TD pass in his first 10 starts here. Yesterday, he completed 18 of 22 throws for 238 yards. He had a sparkling 126 passer rating. Mayfield looking good as a rookie.
He is, but you know, he's, and this is a rookie thing too. He's got to work on his consistency because the week before against Houston, four interceptions and he looked terrible.
Yep.
0 points at halftime. So, you know, he's got it. He's just going to have to be refined a little bit for sure.
Okay, you mentioned Houston. You were there.
I was there.
Texans facing the Colts, Texans losing to the Colts. What happened? You were on site to make sure it
worked
out.
Because I was on site from my living room couch, 9-game winning streak. In the stadium, I don't want to think about it.
Stay home, woman.
This is your fault.
You know whose fault it is? It's dang Jacksonville's fault, Jose. That's a
Jacksonville.
Fact.
Jacksonville.
So the Colts got blanked by Jacksonville last weekend.
Yes.
2 field goals to nothing. 6-0 was the score. Yeah. I said, this is not what Houston needs. A ticked off, chip on the shoulder, Andrew Luck bringing his Colts in here where T.Y. Hilton like runs a burn unit for our Texans. It's absolutely, I knew we were gonna have a tough one.
Now, Andrew Luck was not going to get shut out back-to-back.
So I'm going to blame Blake Bortles for yesterday's loss by the Texans as well.
It all goes back to Blake Bortles.
Actually, it goes back to the Jacksonville defense is what it does.
Yeah, great defensive effort. But that, I mean, for a Jacksonville team that really wasn't playing for anything, they were able to shut out the Colts.
Which is impressive.
But yesterday, Andrew Luck, I mean, there's no mystery whether he's back, whether he's at the top of his game. He was making every kind of throw, short, long, over the top, mid-range. Everything was in his arsenal.
He could have bent over and threw it between his legs backwards and would have completed to T.Y. Hilton.
Right.
399 yards passing and T.Y. Hilton 200 yards catching. And, you know, I think for me it was very tough to see. Houston's defense started out absolutely beautifully. I mean, three and outs for the Colts. I mean, they had him really on the ropes, and Houston was up 7-0 early to start the game. But then the Colts figured it out, and they started the no-huddle, hurry-up offense. And darn, Texans could not adjust.
Yeah, but this is something the Colts have done previously. It's not like it would have been a big surprise for the Colts to go into the no-huddle offense, but it did get the Texans on their heels.
Well, I'll tell you what was missing between the last time we played the Colts and this time. You know, Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton lit them up last time as well on a losing effort with that, you know, questionable call by Frank Wright, but late. Here was the difference to me yesterday. I had my eyes on number 90, Jadeveon Clowney, who had an unbelievable game the first time they played the Colts early in the season. He was absolutely a no-show for the entire game. Nothing. And I watched him. And, you know, the only time he did something was the penalty on 3rd-and-1 to basically end the game and any chance for the Texans to come back.
Yep.
And what it said to me was, you know, oh, we don't pay this guy. He's not worth it. That's not what it said to me at all. It said he's in a contract year. When he doesn't show, we need him. I mean, we're in trouble without Clowney.
But do you really want to pay a guy who plays inconsistently or didn't show up yesterday?
I do, because I got to see in person him standing on the sidelines. He is an enormous human. He's like the Eiffel Tower he is so huge and he's so athletic, and for whatever reason did not have a great game. I mean, he didn't have a good game at all. It was a big, huge difference maker for the Texans.
Well, and the Colts offensive line gets some credit for that. I mean,
they've
been
a very
good standout unit this year.
And that used to be a very porous situation for Luck. I mean, he was the most hit quarterback, sacked quarterback in the league. So really, that offensive line did their job for Andrew Luck. At the same time, Andrew Luck has a beautiful, quick release, which Deshaun yesterday had a little bit of stick-em going on there. I'm like, get rid of that thing. The line did a terrible job. He was under pressure. Watson was under pressure at almost every single drop back.
Well, the Texans were not able to run the ball as they have during their 9-game win streak.
Until they made an adjustment at halftime, opened up the game to the rookie tight ends, and all of a sudden, they were making beautiful throws. Akins, Thomas. It also opened up the run game. So credit Houston for the adjustments. I think what I took away from it at the end, because I tried to find some sort of silver lining, it was so frustrating, is that the Texans looked really bad. Like 0-3 started the season bad, did not play well on either side of the ball, and lost by a field goal to a 400-yard Andrew Luck and a 200-yard T.Y. Hilton. So I'm not ready to throw in the towel for Houston. It was a disappointing loss yesterday. They didn't come to play.
No, disappointing loss. They had a 9-game win streak. This was a game at home that really could have been a complete knockout punch in the AFC South versus the Colts. Texans still, though, with a 9-4 record after that 9-game win streak, and they are still 2 games ahead of the Colts, 2 games ahead of the Titans in the AFC South. Texans certainly seem to be on their way to a division title.
They are, but they missed a big opportunity having New England losing yesterday in Miami, and wow. But you know what? Hey, that's where they are, and they got to put their big boy pants on, and let's get this thing done.
Well, another big boy game yesterday was New England and Miami, and that sure got a lot of headlines.
Gee, how did that end?
Amazing. The Miami miracle.
How many times have we all seen that? Jose, give us a number.
It has to be double digits. It has to be double digits.
And worth it. I mean, it was pretty darn exciting.
How many times does the lateral actually work like that?
I would love to see the stats on that. I've got to think it's in the teens or maybe single digits. I don't think it's a high percentage play at all.
Well, at the point when the Dolphins took the ball, the stats were that they had about a 1% chance of winning the
game.
Is
that what it was?
So it's just amazing that they were able to come through on that play. It really took a number of things to all come together. I would say this. For the Dolphins to win the game, you go back, you look at who have been four of the most reliable Patriots who have ever played. You've had Brady, Belichick, not playing,
Gronk.
But instrumental. Gronk, of course. Their kicker, Gostkowski.
Oh, gosh.
And all four of them had to falter in some way, and they all did. So you can go back to the last play, but Brady missed out a chance at an obvious field goal in the first half when he took a sack. Gostkowski missed the kick. Belichick sent Gronkowski out on the field for the Hail Mary defense when there was going to be no Hail Mary. And then Gronk, he just looked the little odd, right? Just stumbling around out there. I understand he's not a small, quick defensive back, but he didn't even look athletic. He looked like some old stumbling man. He's not. He's exceptional.
He needs to be a tight end. At his position.
Right.
You heard his presser. He was like, that was the weirdest thing. Like, I've never had anything happen like that. I am sure. He looked so out of place.
Yeah.
But you're saying that all of those guys, like those four key cogs, all had to mess up, not just one of them, to win.
They could have survived Brady's mistake at the end of the first half. They could have survived Gostkowski's kick if the other mistakes hadn't happened. Anyway, if Belichick hadn't sent Gronkowski out, all of them could have. They all had to take place. So, anyway, there's a lot of narrative. Are the Patriots going to collapse after this? Could they ever recover? Have no fear. They come back. They always come back. We'll be hearing from the Patriots deep into the playoffs.
There's an interesting stat with this play. As we mentioned, 69-yard touchdown run.
Was it called Boise?
Yeah, actually, that was what they said. That's what it was called. But it was the longest play from scrimmage to win a game with no time remaining in the fourth quarter since the 1970 merger. Longest ever.
Get out. It was beautiful, I have to say.
Well, it was. In the Boston papers this morning, one of the observations they made, it might be the worst, most painful regular season loss in Boston sports history, which is a big statement to say when you think about all their teams and all of their deep histories. There have been some painful, painful playoff losses. I mean, who would forget the Bill Buckner thing for the Red Sox in 1986? Mm-hmm. You can go through lots of the history of those teams, in particular the Red Sox and their heartbreaking series against the Yankees 1 year when they left Pedro in too long.
Last year.
All those things. But this one, as a regular season heartbreak, this one ranks near the top.
You know what we do have to mention, too, is Ryan Tannehill. Like when I think of him, I do not think of an elite quarterback, so
right.
Shame on me. But look at these numbers yesterday. 14 of 19, 265 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and he has beat New England. He, Ryan Tannehill, for the fourth time at home.
At home?
He's not even on the field enough to have played them four times that I know of.
No.
How crazy is that? So the bottom line for Bill Belichick, he's got to talk to the NFL schedulers. He does not want to play Miami in December. The combination is deadly.
It seems good on paper. You're up in New England in the cold. Why wouldn't you want to go south?
It's bad for them. They are 4-16 in Miami in December. Not good.
Crazy. All right. When we come back, we're going to take a quick look at that Cowboys win over the Eagles, and it would seem the Cowboys are on their way to an NFC East Division title. When we return on the Boston Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Boy, a month ago in the NFC East, it looked like it was going to be the Redskins. Redskins cratered, of course. Alex Smith injured. Mark Sanchez comes in.
Colt McCoy, his backup, two broken legs in 3 weeks.
Yes.
Like some kind of black shamrocks in that locker room. They have got to change that around.
And the inverse of that has been the Cowboys. Ever since they got Amari Cooper, they have been on the upward trajectory. They are really playing good football.
See
now
how good Raider Nation is to the people?
Well, they just needed a little Raider love
they
on the
needed
Cowboys.
It.
But Amari Cooper has really, he's done several things for that offense. One is I think he's given Dak more confidence to go deep. Dak rarely would go deep. He still misses deep passes. He's overthrew Gallup on an obvious touchdown yesterday that would have put the game away. So Dak's still inconsistent. But to have a receiver like Cooper has to give him more confidence.
Well, and, you know, you're comparing the two. Gallup is a rookie. His route running skills are not what Amari Cooper's are. And that's really one of, besides his speed, one of the strengths that Cooper brings to Dallas.
Right.
You know, so I guess the question is going to be for Dallas. I'm assuming they're going to hang on to him. What kind of deal do you give him? Because you look at like a Matthew Stafford, $27 million a year. What does he do in Detroit?
No, it's...
So what Dallas... I mean, Dak's doing a lot more for Dallas. So what do you pay him?
Well, Jerry Jones has come out and said that they do intend to keep Dak. They want to extend him. They will give him a rich deal. I just don't think he's a franchise quarterback at this point in his development. So you'll be paying for future potential that may or may never be realized. I mean, Dak hasn't shown that he's a natural passer. He hasn't shown great kind of touch. He hasn't shown the full breadth of passes that you need to throw in this league, or at least the consistency and the accuracy that you need to take your team to the Super Bowl. So I think the jury's still out on Dak. I think Jason Garrett was absolutely right to say Dak is a tough SOB. He's a leader in that locker room. He's a leader on that field. There's a lot of kudos, a lot of things right about him.
And those are intangibles.
Those are really great intangibles. He's got them.
And he's only in his third year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got no receivers up until Amari Cooper really to deal with it that are not rookies. So they're learning as well. And honestly, I'm just not convinced with Kellen Moore and Scott Linehan to be the ones that can really develop him.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, one thing, if you're Jerry Jones, you're going to invest big dollars in that quarterback. I think you ought to make a complimentary investment in a very good offensive quarterback mind to take Dak to the next level.
Duly noted. Because he can get there.
All right, hour number one of the books. We will be right back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than two decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn.
and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.